time for hour number two of the Dr. Future Show.
Hello, welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Okay.
All right. We're on the phone here. We have Jonathan Quinton on from New Zealand. Jonathan is what we know as a sacred geometrist.
Or a mathematical magician, a mathemagician.
Mathemagician. He's kind of the antidote for all this bad news we've been hearing about the wars in the planet and the Ebola virus and all these things going on. Where do we get any solace? How do we create a little bit more magic in our lives? So we thought we'd bring Jonathan on to help with that process, to remind us of the bigger picture.
Yeah, Jonathan's main job is revealing the wondrous mysteries of the universe that are there to be discovered. He does that through a lifetime of looking at the wonders of numbers and things like that, sacred geometries. Welcome, Jonathan.
Welcome.
Thank you. Very nice to be here, to be back again. I love the Santa Cruz area. I love visiting this part of the world. I love visiting you guys, and I love sharing with you my latest work.
Yeah. You haven't been here in a number of years, right, Jonathan? Last time you did a show was at least 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Yeah. It was probably about 3 years ago. Yeah.
When you've done a show, you usually fill a place like the Pacific Cultural Center. You fill it with these incredible light shows of sacred geometries.
Yeah, right? Maybe you can explain to the audience what sacred geometry is in the most basic sense.
But do that after the break. We're going to take our first little break, and then we'll be right back with more from Jonathan Quinton, our guest, talking about sacred geometry. This is the Dr. Future Show on KSU.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Jonathan Quinton from New Zealand on sacred geometry. If you want to look at some sacred geometry, go to his website, which is sacredgeometry.com.au. AU. Now, isn't that Australia, Jonathan?
That's the element gold, AU.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so there's two dots, .com.au. Okay, so for the uninitiated, tell us a little bit about what sacred geometry is.
It's the universal language. It's a language of creation. It describes an order that has existed since even before there was time or creation or space or anything.
Really, before the Big Bang? How far back?
Well, it's conjectured so because there was never a time when these mathematical principles, that's what they are, that's what we're talking about, is mathematical principles. They're just there, they don't need anything to exist as these principles. So it's been conjectured through the ages that they don't even need creation to exist, that they existed before the creation.
Hmm.
They can be translated, these principles can be translated into shapes and patterns and number. Numerical relationships, which go then to reveal this order, this really profound, really beautiful, exquisite geometric order that describes these continuous, timeless, universal actions that we can only know through geometry, through the shapes and the patterns and the forms that unfold from the circle and the sphere.
Mm-hmm. So the circle and the sphere, that would be one of the first sacred geometries?
It is considered to be the first, is the circle, which represents the sphere. And yes, it's the first form. It's the mother form. It's the womb, the cosmic womb, the source. Mm-hmm. And from this, from the circle, from the womb, comes what is called the regular polyhedra, the forms, the five platonic solids, which is the sphere, you know, dividing, reflecting upon itself to create these five forms, these five archetypal forms that are known as the five platonic solids, because Plato used these as a metaphor of universal order in his dialogue to Timaeus.
There was the circle, the square, the triangle.
the most basic one is a tetrahedron.
Tetrahedron.
Which is four triangular faces. Plato attributed fire, the element fire, to that form. And then the next less number of uniform divisions of the sphere creates the cube, or the hexahedron, and that's six square faces. And then there's eight divisions, which gives us the octahedron, which is eight triangular facets. And then there's 12 pentangular divisions, producing the dodecahedron. Oh, and the octagon, Plato attributed the air element with the dodecahedron, the ether or prana, and with the icosahedron, 20 divisions, 20 triangular faces of triangles.
So it keeps getting more complex and complex geometries as you
build. Well, it goes up to there. That's what it goes up to, you know. And then from these, there's another set can be produced by truncating the various edges. You can produce
Jonathan, well, it's a little abstract radio, for our audience. Let's not really turn this into a description here. I think what we're interested in is how this practice of going deep into these harmonic numerological relationships, how does that give you your artistic career? What is it that keeps you going back to this?
Because it excites me more than anything else.
The harmony of universal order?
The harmony and the beauty and the exquisiteness and how profound it is that there is this tangible evidence in the form of mathematical expressions, you know, being expressed through patterns and shapes and forms and color and motion.
Now, we see color and motion and forms in nature. Would you say that these patterns in nature are sacred geometries?
They're the same, but played out differently. The ones we've been talking about, the Platonic solids and that, these are the archetypal forces. These are what govern the self-organizing forces that play out not into perfect tetrahedra and, you know, dodecahedra and that, but play out in molecular construction and the ratios. It's the ratios and the proportions and the different dynamics, the vectors and the vertices and the root powers.
So,
and
Jonathan, can
all
I ask you another question without interrupting? I have had the benefit of seeing your art, and so when you're describing it, I know what you're speaking of, but I'm sure that the average person hasn't really spent much time with their geometry probably since high school, unless they share the interest in sacred geometry. So I'm really trying to come from a little bit more of a personal connection to it, because I'm one of these people that often wondered, why do people find sacred geometry so fascinating? What is the superpower that they get from it? I could remind you of some of the stories that you've told me, but maybe if I just start by asking you, what is the thing that it gives you that makes it so special?
It's indescribable. It's beyond anything that I've experienced before this. It just takes you, it opens you to the greater whole, to cosmos, and it opens up more of you. It opens up your channels, because geometry, if we think of it in terms of frequency, the uniform shapes and patterns that develop from uniform divisions of the circle and the forms from the sphere, these are the harmonics, these are the templates, and these are more than just shapes or mathematical programs that embed the principles and governing principles we find throughout nature, in the form of ratios and number relationships and various mathematical properties that are all contained within these shapes. And beyond that, that's one side of it. We see it playing out in nature in this form, in its organic form. You look at a flower and you can see which system of circular division is organizing it. And at the different plants and forms, natural forms, you can tell. But everyone is individual, everyone is unique, but they are organized by a certain mathematical principle. These principles, as well as appearing in nature and appear in sacred geometry in the form most commonly known in the form of the Islamic mosaics. You know, a lot of the ancient Eastern mandalas.
And what about the Jewish Kabbalah? That looks like it could be sacred geometric form as well.
Yeah, it is. And many other things besides, all are sort of alluding to or aligning with the same thing from their various perspectives and their cultural outlook.
All right, Jonathan, we're going to have to go to a break right now. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Jonathan Quinton, a sacred geometrist from New Zealand, visiting us in the Santa Cruz area. And we do have a question from John Monahan, a visionary artist in the studio, regarding the golden ratio.
Yes, the lesser part is to the greater part as the greater part is to the whole. It is the golden ratio that's actually contained in the Lord's Prayer, if you examine that. And I'd like to see what you have to say about the golden ratio. That was the first thing that Salvador Dali taught me when I became his friend, was this. The golden ratio also included the logarithmic spiral, which is also divine geometry, even though it's not in straight lines. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, we can talk about that. The golden ratio is a primary part of my work.
Yes.
In fact, it's a central part of my work is the golden ratio, and it's found everywhere throughout nature, including in us, how human form is measured. Da Vinci, you know, demonstrated how the human form,
he was fascinated,
depending on how it's standing, it connects to the spiritual plane as well as to the physical plane.
So what is it, basically, for the uninitiated? Is relationship between different components of a whole, or what?
It's the relationship of something that is divided at a certain point. The simplest demonstration is a straight line divided at a certain point, so that there's a short segment and a long segment.
From what I can see, the golden ratio is known as phi. From what I can see, it's a relationship between two or more components of a whole, where the whole is divided into a small and a large segment, and any whole can be divided into two segments, and however, there's only one way that something can be divided, so that the two parts are unified proportionally to each other in the same way as they are unified to the original undivided whole.
It's the relationship. It's called the golden ratio, the golden relationship, and it's known as the golden thread that weaves its way through all of the cosmos, joining or combining, contrasting and diverse elements into a harmonious whole. And it's done through proportionality, through harmonic resonant proportionality, where differences meet in harmony, in balance, in unity. And this is expressed mathematically through the shapes, which represents different divisions of the circle, different frequencies, different harmonics, different resonance, and the forces that we find playing out in nature.
Is this like the spiral in seashell? Would that be the golden mean?
Nautilus?
Well, we different seashells.
Or is that the Fibonacci sequence?
It's definitely a golden spiral, Fibonacci spiral on actually three dimensions. One dimensionally, the spiral is a golden spiral, a Fibonacci spiral, and this spiral can be contained in a golden proportioned rectangle. And also, on average, as it's evolving out, as each chamber grows from the previous chamber, it has approximately 1.618 times more volume than the chamber preceding it. So 1, 2, and 3, dimensionally, it's an expression. It's a living expression of the golden ratio. And you'll find it in other places as well. Our own Milky Way galaxy, and most galaxies are a golden spiral.
Hmm.
And our DNA is golden spiral, both in length. In length, it could be measured by the golden rectangle. And if we look at it through its cross-section, then it's organized by the pentagon and the double pentagon, making a decagon.
Hmm.
And it's all golden ratio, and we ourselves, we're just an embodiment of golden proportion.
So this exists in many different realms within nature, in our bodies, in seashells, in the cosmos itself, in the star system.
Galaxies and subatomic particles.
So I have a question for all you guys. Now, I know that in medieval pre-scientific Enlightenment era education, the mathematics of the geometries and the golden means and the Archimedean solids were the things that people really studied when they wanted to have higher learning. And yet now our education system doesn't really even show it off to people. What could a study of sacred geometry bring if it were reintegrated with the more scientific learning that people do now?
It's part of the old world knowledge
and it's not part of the modern world knowledge.
What it can bring and will bring is memories because of pattern recognition. These are archetypal patterns and forms. And we have this knowledge within us because we have all the knowledge of the universe within us, like a drop has the essence of the ocean within it.
We are a
fractal holographic representation and we contain all the knowledge. We have this knowledge, but it's so deep and dormant within us. But these patterns can reawaken us to more information of who we are so that we can open up more to who we are, because it's all about sympathetic resonance and alignment and aligning to the harmony of universal order instead of living in discord with it. This can bring a lot of things. It can bring a state of peace and calm.
So just by looking at these,
of what's going on around you, by looking at it intentionally and focusing with attention.
Do you think this is part of why nature is so...
You're connecting with this harmony, and it's called visual harmony or Pythagoras. I think he may have coined the term geometry as visual harmony, and he explained how they had the same mathematical properties within them. Like, they were both about the relationship of number. With music, it was the relationship of number and time through frequency and interval. And in geometry, it's the relationship of number and space. And they have the same classical music, and certain shapes and forms have the same relationship, the same property, the same ratios and proportions of root 2, root 3, and root 5.
Well, I've noticed that you also put on your literature the phi is the ideal human face, that the length of the face is the width and the width of the face, the lips of the eyebrows and the length of the nose. The length of the face and the tip of the jaw and the eyebrows, these sorts of things reflect the phi or the golden ratio as well.
So they would provide the ultimate human experience with the ones closest to that proportion. That's called the ideal example, the ideal demonstration. And very few of us come anywhere near close to the ideal, but it's all proportional. It's all relative. And short people, tall people, fat people, thin people, every kind of person, it's all relative to them. And it's golden proportional according to whatever dimensions they happen to be.
Does this tie in with the Kabbalah? I mentioned that earlier. The Tree of Life, is that an expression of sacred geometry, the Tree of Life?
Yeah, the Tree of Life is based on interlacing circles, based on the threefold and sixfold system of circular division. And it generates the Genesis pattern, which is a series of progressively larger numbers of circles reaching out. Mm-hmm. And this forms the flower of life, which depicts the Kabbalistic tree of life. So that is based on this pattern, the Genesis pattern. And there's lots of other connections and correlations between the Kabbalah and sacred geometry. I think you framed it as, does sacred geometry fit into Kabbalah? It's more, does Kabbalah fit into sacred geometry?
I see, that's right.
Because Kabbalah is something that will come and go, just like everything else, but sacred geometry will always be there.
Because it's the fundamental structure of the universe.
Sacred geometry as these mathematical principles. One of the things that got me really interested in sacred geometry was at an early age, I went out exploring the world, visiting different remains of advanced ancient civilizations. They all applied sacred geometry in their various ways and with the materials they had and according to their culture and what the resources were and the time period and their degree of advancement. all expressing their connection to universal order and alignment with universal order, because many of them were very sophisticated astronomical
We got to go to another break. We do have a question from the audience. People want to know more about the Fibonacci sequence, a little bit more about that after the break. We're talking to Jonathan Quinton, sacred geometrist, on the Dr. Future Show.
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Jonathan Quinton on sacred geometry. We do have a question from the audience regarding the Fibonacci sequence. Now, that's a series of numbers where the next number is found by adding the two numbers before it. So you have 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13.
Actually, you don't start at 0. You start at 1 because nature doesn't actually have a 0.
Zero. So it's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. And then what's actually happening metaphorically is nature's at a certain number, and then it reaches back into the past, and it adds the past to the present to make the future.
Uh-huh,
and that's the way that it progresses. And this number, the sequence of numbers, is known as the Fibonacci series.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fibonacci, an Italian mathematician who lived in the 12th and 13th century, he was also the one who introduced the Arabic numeral system to the West. But anyway, he noticed this series of numbers appearing over and over again throughout nature, through such things as phyllotaxis, the way that leaves arrange themselves around the stalk, so that by the time a leaf is directly under another leaf, there's enough distance between them that the top leaf is not going to block the sunshine and the rainfall from the leaf below it. It's the optimal leaf placement.
So it creates
as well
a spiraling
system spirals and petals and branch. All of these things work out in the Fibonacci sequence as the most optimal branching system. And if you pan out a bit and look down at the earth, then it's the mountain ranges and the river beds and crystal formations and lightning strikes, all expressing themselves in similar ways through Fibonacci number sequences.
Huh. He was an Italian mathematician himself?
Yeah, he wrote, and the name eludes me at the moment, very significant mathematical pieces. And his father was a merchant, so he would take Fibonacci, Leonardo, along with him as a boy, and he would run free throughout the Arabic souks. He saw, you know, as a child, as an unindoctrinated child, he saw how superior the Arabic numeral system was to the Roman numeral system, which they had in the West, in Italy. And he took it back. He introduced it into the West and was responsible for taking root and spreading far and wide. So that was one thing. The other thing, and of equal importance, was the Fibonacci organizing system, because it's all golden proportional. Those numbers, if instead I said if they're made up by adding the past to the present to make the future, but if you divide the present by the past, it soon evens out as you go up higher and higher sequences of the series. It quickly evens out to the golden ratio, 1.618. So that by any time, if you are multiplying, say, 89 by 55, which, you know, Fibonacci numbers, it comes to 1.618.
Now, you have examples of this on your website, sacredgeometry.com.au.
I do, yeah.
You can see these sequences and what they look like. It really helps to see the visuals in understanding this.
And the gallery, you know, if you go there, especially go to the gallery, because that's where I display the art and the geometries that I was speaking about, how all these endless series of stars all come into perfect connection and relationship and alignment around the center of a circle. And it can be an infinite number of stars, because there's no limits in sacred geometry. When you follow certain harmonic mathematical procedures, you tap into infinite processes. And that's another really strong dynamic that connects you or invigorates you. It spiritually invigorates you and builds you.
So this is another element of it where it has an effect on your state of mind.
It's
a form of meditation in a way.
Biomimicry. Uh-huh. Well, it's biomimicry and it's alignment. It's sympathetic resonance, aligning our human instrument to the tones, to the harmonic tones that are contained within the geometric patterns.
Mm. You think this is one of the reasons why nature is so attractive to us, because we're looking at thousands of sacred geometries in real time and it's just impinging on our system and aligning us with those frequencies?
Yes, I definitely think that the golden ratio is implicit in that or some of that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a particular geometric sequence or pattern or mystery that you've been exploring yourself that you would like to share?
Yeah, the golden ratio. I've done that, but, you know, as well as how it's a fundamental organizing principle found throughout nature.
The golden ratio.
That's one part of it. Nature is one part of this geometric expression. Another part is what we call, and it doesn't actually appear physically in nature, mm-hmm. It appears just mathematically, and this is a mathematical principle that I was talking about, that just there, just as a result of because they are, because it is so, and there was no time where there was that they weren't so, that there was nothing, and then suddenly they popped out of nothing and they were there. Mm. They're just there, they don't need anything for them to be there in the form of mathematical principles. So geometry can show us these relationships, these harmonic geometric relationships, which are infinite. When certain mathematical procedures are followed, harmonics of root 2, root 3, and root 5 plus 1 divided by 2, which equates to the golden ratio, 1 in ratio to 1.618.
Hmm. Now, there's visual versions of this.
A visual way to take it. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, my presentations and soon to be released new video footage.
Mm-hmm.
The golden ratio is the main focus. And I take it way beyond what I can show on my site because, you know, I do it through animation and other.
Yeah, so not only so much you can talk about it too as without seeing it.
It's a very visual experience, that's for sure. Yeah.
Another person just sent in a message saying, truth is beauty, beauty is truth, and that is all you need to know. That's from John Keats, I guess. In the last minute of this, how would you suggest people use geometry if they're not geometrists? To look at the patterns as a form of meditation?
Draw circles. Get a compass and a straight edge and draw circles and make patterns.
Make patterns
and
out of
turn
circles?
Turn into certain patterns. Yeah, make patterns out of circles, out of interlacing circles.
And just doing that.
And that'll tie you into it. That'll dip you into the cosmic ocean.
Give you access to
the... And then from here, you just take it, you know, as far as you care to.
You see the patterns by creating them, by getting your body to make them. Get you into a resonance with the universal principles of existence. Good. So you suggest, if they want to know more, to sacredgeometry.com.au. Sacredgeometry.com.au.
Think of gold.
Okay, well, good. Well, thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan Quinton from New Zealand, visiting us in Santa Cruz.
And we'll be sure and let you all know if Jonathan is doing a show where you can actually see the harmonic beauties that he puts together. Thanks for listening.
Yes, I am too, so stay tuned.
All right. All right, have a good afternoon, Jonathan.
Okay, folks, this has been the Dr. Future Show.
Thanks for being here.
Dr. Future Show on KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, San Jose, and Monterey. We'll be back next Tuesday. See you then. The future's calling me.